After we have gained some basic understanding of history, this video will guide you through the first and second tasks of your project, namely selecting your company and determining the basic features of this company by using the information provided by us. Let's get started. So to be very clear, your research project will be on one of 117 Scottish freestanding companies. Those 117 companies are the entire population of FSC established in Scotland during the first period after the Joint Stock Act was issued. This list was kindly provided by my colleague, Kevin Tennant, who has pursued his dissertation on this topic. The Excel file that you find on Moodle includes all the information given in the company house registration files. The company house is the governmental agency that registered and monitored the company. Its archive is nowadays stored in the National Archives of Scotland. Let's now look into the information provided in the Excel file, or let's say we will do that in a moment, sorry. The first step before we look into the information provided is now that you choose your company that you will investigate more closely. The decision is up to you, but here we have some rule of thumbs that help you make the decision. So first of all, you may choose a sector, a company that is involved in a sector that interests you. Of course, there will be no high-tech companies among the companies in the list. But still, you can choose whether you want to study a firm in the primary, secondary, or tertiary sector. Then you may choose a company that operated in a host country that is familiar to you, for instance, your own home country. And consider it because it might be an advantage when you will have or will be able to research historical documents, not only from the British context, but also from the host country context. Then the column other information gives you a brief snapshot into the history of the company. We advise you to study the information provided there, as it will give you some hints about what you might expect when you choose the company to study. Also, if you select a company and you realize early on that an initial newspaper search will not result in enough hits, then it might be better to drop the company and choose a different one. Finally, after you have chosen your company, please remember also to indicate the name of the company to us so that we have an overview of the companies that this class is studying. Now, after you have made your decision which company you want to study, the second step involves now to determining the basics about your company that you selected. In this video here, I will use the New Zealand and Australian Land Company Limited as an example to illustrate many issues. Kevin Tennant, who I mentioned earlier, wrote an analytically structured history about his company, published in a journal. And interestingly, he used archival records such as internal reports of the meetings of the directors to write up this history. In contrast, we will use newspaper sources. That is a more external perspective on the company. As I will show you, the example here will showcase how the use of newspaper sources allows us to develop a qualitative case study about the past activities of a company. So let's do this. First, of course, when we want to study a company, we need to utilize the scarce information that is provided at the starting point. So on Moodle, as I said, you find an Excel file about all the companies that Kevin Tennant studied. And as I mentioned earlier, the Excel file provides data extracted from the company house archive. And I think I said it earlier, the company house is a British government agency, which has been previously known as the Registrar of Companies in Scotland, a company house in Edinburgh, and alternatively, there was also another one in London and I think in Glasgow too. So those institutions were established with the beginning of the Joint Stock Act. In practice, that means that the company house created one file per company that registered itself. The file then that was historically created consists of information regarding the incorporation of the company and its dissolution. Also, additional informations were added while the company was still operating. Such information can include annual reports. To be very clear, the purpose of this company house was really to facilitate good governance of the company. And this was for the benefit of stakeholders, shareholders, creditors, and of course, the community at large. Let's now have a closer look at the file, at the Excel file. And on the right-hand side, you see a snapshot of it. As I said, this Excel file assembles information from the physical company file of each company that was stored in the archives. Also, note right away that you look at the results of Tennant's work. He had, when he did his research, specific concerns. For example, he was interested in the financial arrangements of the companies. And in that way, his interests might bias the information towards that end. So what kind of information do you find in this Excel file? So in column C to H, you find the registration and dissolving dates of your company. Then in the columns J to K, you find some information about the sector. L to M columns will provide you information about the host country, and then the other columns about the home country. Then when we look further into the file, you will realize that the columns P to R will provide you information about the capitalization of the company. Then you will also find details regarding the directors and other involved actors in the company. Then here you also, or Kevin Tennant also included some information when he realized that a company was somehow related to another company. And this is the column of the FSC clusters. Then finally, the columns U to W provides you with some specific information about the evolution of the company. And again, it's mostly about financial arrangements and the change of it. And then Kevin occasionally also amended his Excel file with insights that he found in newspaper sources, such as the Gazettes, the Times, and the Economist. Here is very important to know that Kevin had not the opportunity to use the databases that I will introduce you in a moment, because they were those sources were not digitized during the times when he pursued his dissertation. So let's now look into the basic information in more details. And here it always makes sense to make or try to establish at least a timeline of events. This can be done within a figure or a table. The figure that I depicted on the slides provide the basic information of the New Zealand and Australian Land Company. So for instance, in the Excel file, I found out that the company that I'm studying was registered in 1866 in Glasgow. Then in 1877, the original firm merged with another one to create a new firm under a similar name. The assets then was transferred to this new company. Finally, I found out that in 1968, the firm was dissolved, so it stopped its operation. In all, this visualization here of temporal dimension is always a helpful tool for any qualitative research. And here I have on this slide here, a couple of examples of qualitative research. So those examples are from the work from Dennis Gioia and his colleagues. And I think you have been exposed to his work in one of your basic methods course at JSBE. So let's look closer at the figure on the right-hand side. It is a timeline of a spin-off of a company. And if you look at the depicted events on the timeline, you may see that this is also already an analytically structured timeline, because Gioia and his colleagues are not displaying all events that happened, but those that are important in the light of their analytical framework or research interests. In this case, Gioia and his colleagues were interested in what happens to an organizational identity during a spin-off. And of course, this biased, if you will, their depiction of the events and their narrative they reconstructed from the events. This brings me already to the question of what, quote unquote, history of your company you may cover. Of course, the inception of the company and its dissolution may provide you with a natural starting and endpoint of your history. However, you can but must not cover the totality of this history. Instead, we encourage you to make your own decisions upon the events you want to cover. This might depend on the availability of empirical data, what sources you find, or this might depend on the conceptual focus that you choose. Such as Dennis Gioia, you might be Dennis Gioia, who was interested in a change of organizational identity. You might be interested in the change of cross-border management over time, as an example. In all, It's important that you know that making a sensible decision is part of the assessment task in its own right. So make your own decision of what kind of history you are covering. And then, of course, just as a reminder, use this framework here we have discussed in the first seminar to narrow down your focus of the history that you're covering. That's it for now. The next video will be about the actual collection and the process of collecting historical data.